Welcome back to the Bibling and Babbling podcast. My name is Luke Simmons, and I'm joined by Connor Hyde.
What's up?
Connor, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing great, Luke. It's been a nice little chill start to a Saturday morning. I feel like we're usually recording in the evening after, like, full days have happened.
It's true.
And usually after, like, full weeks and stuff. So it's kind of nice to be taking a more relaxed approach to the day and then to get to come in and do this. So it's fun to be back. It's been probably a little over a month now, I guess. Hey,
we had a busy last month.
Yeah,
lots of stuff going on. Connor's still, you know, trying to plan the wedding.
Yes, totally,
all that kind of stuff,
which is only like, it's like just over 60 days away, I think, which is crazy.
Months and 2 days.
Totally. It's like coming down to it, and you kind of realize like there's so many big things that you plan at the start when you're like, okay, like we're gonna get married. Here's the, you know, the big picture things that we need to have as far as like venues and bridal party and clothes to get married in and all that kind of stuff. And then really just yesterday we started thinking through and talking through all the little details that are gonna come, where it's like, okay, like who's gonna make sure that the guest book makes it from the church to the reception, and I don't know, just all those like random little things that you realize you're responsible for.
What kind of cutlery you're gonna have and all that kind of
thing. Oh yeah, plastic, dude. Little lightweight plastic forks. 1,000 of them. So
a lot of forks.
Yeah, you just kinda have to start ordering everything in bulk, and so making it do. But yeah, the cost of things adds up as well.
Yeah.
Because that's also what you're like, oh, I'm paying for the big things, like food and like a suit. And there's those major expenses. And then it's like, oh, yeah, like I guess we do need 1,000 little plastic cups for people to use to drink. I don't know. Just all those like random things that you don't think you'll end up spending money on, or you don't realize you will. But then you do, and they add up fast.
So yes.
That's all right.
It's true.
What's your month been like?
Just a lot of work, and yeah, just enjoying the beautiful spring that the shoe swap brings. It's like the birds are just like going early in the morning.
Yeah, like 5 a.m.
Like 3 a.m. Nice and early, but yeah, it's nice to enjoy the sunshine. It's starting to get hot at work.
Yeah.
But jumping in the lake and all those wonderful things.
You've been in the lake how many times this season already?
5?
Nice.
Maybe?
Nice.
Yeah, jumped in this morning. It was fairly chilly, but the water's going to start going down in the next month, so then it'll start to warm up more and more. It'll be just a joyous time.
It's true.
Yeah,
I gotta get in there a little bit more, take advantage of it, for sure, more than I did last summer.
Yeah.
Last summer, I did not jump in often enough.
Yeah, but it's been good. My parents were out last week, so that was fun, getting a visit with them.
That is sweet.
All the things.
Yes.
But today, we're excited to talk about the idea of following God with our whole heart, like the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength. Doing that, but also, you know, how do we enjoy the activities that we do, like, you know, playing sports or those kinds of things where we want to pursue excellence and do things to the best of our ability without that, you know, taking the priority, becoming an idol that takes us away from loving God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Totally.
That kind of thing. So Connor, what does that look like for you in your day-to-day, kind of as you do the activities and what kind of things can become those distractions for you?
Yeah, totally. Like, I think there's so many things. I feel like I am often easily distracted person.
Mm.
And I think sometimes it surprises me, like what and how many things like I can be distracted by. There's a quote, and I can't think of like who said it right now, but it's kind of in like one of our worship arts textbooks at the school. But the line is basically just that, like, our hearts are idol factories, like IDOL factories, where it's like we can actually kind of just make idols out of anything. And I feel like when you actually think of this idea of like loving the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, strength, and consider that in light of how many other things you really kind of can give yourself fully to, it's like, oh man, like I can actually make an idol out of pretty much like anything in my life. I feel like, yeah, I'm trying to think like kind of things I'm most prone to. Like, they still feel kind of big picture, but I just feel like my schedule is like something I can kind of make an idol of, where it's like, oh, I like to be busy, I like to be on the go, I like to have lots of things happening, but that it's like, not actually taking time to like stop and rest and be still because of a busy schedule is actually something that I can just like idolize. That's just like, oh, I just want to have a lot going on, and that can actually like really push out, the slowing down, or the time of rest, or just being still before the Lord, and actually like letting my thoughts be on Him. I feel like, it's playoffs right now, and so it's like easy to just kind of be like, oh, I just want to watch the playoffs and focus on hockey games and see how this series between the Oilers and the Panthers ends up. It's like that can just be something that like my mind's just like filled with so much. If it's like working out or music, or there's just so many things that it's like, man, I can actually start to place like such a priority on those things. Even planning a wedding, like planning a wedding can become an idol, if it's kind of like something that starts to be self-serving rather than something that can glorify God through, and if I'm thinking of it through the wrong lens. But I feel like it, I don't know, I feel like it's important to note too that it's like probably a lot of the things that you and I are talking about like are good things that we can turn into idols. But it's like we have to remember as well that these things are given to us as like gifts from the Lord. And so in that, how do we steward them wisely? So it's, if you have like you have a love for sports and playing sports and watching sports and anything to do with sports, like that's actually something like a way that God has like wired you, created you, to be athletic and to enjoy athleticism, to appreciate, a really good play in like a rugby game. Or to watch hockey and be like, whoa, that's so sweet. Like the fact that you appreciate sport is not a bad thing. And so with all these things that we're probably gonna talk about, like that's not really what we're saying, right? That like, oh, these are bad things. It's just that it's like we can give them such an emphasis, and give so much of ourselves to them that it actually like does creep into that spot above loving the Lord with our heart, soul, mind, strength.
Yeah, is it becoming your identity? Are people knowing you as, oh, he's a musician, or he's an athlete, before they know you as, oh, this guy just really loves Jesus and he does all these other things? And I think that's an important distinction too, and a good point of self-reflection. It's like when I'm interacting, with my friends or with different people, do they know me first as this super intense, insert activity there, super intense Lego enthusiast, sport enthusiast, all those kinds of things? Is that what they know me as first over, this guy loves Jesus a lot?
And like out of your love, like does your love for Jesus like influence how you engage in all these like other things that you love to do? So it's like, is your love for watching playoff hockey actually influenced by your love for Jesus? And is that possible? How does that play out practically? I think there's lots that we could talk about there. But it's just like, oh, is my love to have a full calendar and be around lots of people, is that actually like influenced by my love for Jesus? Or is that just like being guided by my love for self, really, and my own desires? Or is it like something that I've submitted to Christ, asked him to use, because it's like he's the one who's given me the capacity and the energy and all of these things. But am I actually, really, am I glorifying God through these things, or am I like trying to glorify myself through these things? And I think that's it. It's like we can take anything, and it can either be like a catalyst to glorify God or a catalyst to glorify me.
Yeah. And I think it's important too to, this is something that I have always struggled with in this kind of like thinking about how do I do the activities I love while also like following Jesus, to not be like, oh, I can't do this thing as wholeheartedly because it might take me away. That's like, that's not what we're saying. It's like, not, don't do what you love to do, and don't stress yourself out thinking that, oh, I'm going and playing soccer, and am I loving Jesus enough while I'm going to do this? That's
Yeah.
not, don't stress yourself out with that, because that's not not the point. It's, Lord, help me just to glorify you in how I do this, playing soccer and not falling into sin as I do it, if someone slide tackles you, and
Totally, yeah.
in those moments of, you have a lot of adrenaline and those kind of things. It's like, Lord, help keep me from sin, because that, keeping a cool head in the intense moments, those are the kinds of things where it's like, oh, this person, you bear a good testimony to Christ in those moments, and you can still do it very intensely and very passionately without falling into sin.
Yeah, and how you respond in the midst of those things really quickly reveals where like you're placing the value and importance in, whether that's on seeking to glorify God, or that's on you just doing it for yourself. Because it's like, yeah, if someone messes up a play, or messes up a chord if you're playing music with a bunch of people or things like that, and you find yourself just getting like so frustrated and angry, it's like, oh, it's probably because it's like either you've been made to look bad, or you're not playing as well as you thought you could, or like s in some way like your expectation of yourself has been disappointed. And so it really does quickly reveal that, oh, my heart might not be in the right place here. And yeah, that's such a good note, that it's like, oh, it's not that we need to like stress ourselves out with like, every second just being like, oh, like, am I doing the right thing here? But if you kind of take a step back and look at your mindset as you go into things and as you come out of activities and stuff, what does that actually reveal?
Yeah, absolutely. I think of our good friend Ryan Campbell. One of the things that he talks about in, as he's the dean of men at Miller, and how he tries to disciple the guys there, and how he tries to raise his two boys, it's he's not after behavior change, he's after heart change. So there's a lot of ways that we can act and behave and try to just fix that to follow Christ well, but that's just kind of following religion, not really.
Yeah.
There's no depth there. There's, but to have the heart change, it's, oh, I can do this in freedom, and knowing that, I have freedom in Christ to be able to live and to act in obedience to him and follow him well, and that kind of thing.
Yeah, totally. Which I've been thinking a lot about, just like heart change, or like these pieces that it's like we're called to do, like we're called to love the Lord our God with like all our hearts, like, and how like impossible that can seem, or it's like we're called to like live by faith, and how hard that can seem, and all these things that we're called to do. And it's really cool just to look through God's word and to see that it's like, oh, these pieces that we're called to do are things like that God is already like helping us do. So for example, it's like we're called to live out of this idea of like we're called to live loving the Lord with all of our heart. And it's like, okay, well, my heart's kind of like messed up at times, it feels like, or pretty like drifts away pretty quickly. But that it's like Ezekiel, like 36:26 talks about how like God says, like, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put in you. I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. So he kind of like God enables us to do like the things that he's commanding us to do, if that makes sense. He's not just like, love me with all of your heart and figure out what that means and how to actually do that. But he's like, oh, like I've actually like given you a new heart, and out of that new heart is how I want you to love me.
Yeah, and even like, man, it is just so sweet how it's like he has, like, thinking about Ephesians, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. He's chosen us, he's set the path before us. As in like John, it talks about Jesus talking how he's gonna leave, but he'll send a helper, like the Holy Spirit. Like he provides those things that will remind us in those moments, keep us, and it all requires like us, like, Lord, help us follow you, but he will also be like, hey, remember that I am your Lord. And that this plays out in a few different ways that we kind of have, talking about ways to keep these idols in check. Like there's a few different ways there. I don't know if you want to get into that now.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go for it.
So yeah, the first one we have listed is like some habits of grace. Connor and I read this book called Habits of Grace by David Mathis at Miller, and it's a super well laid out, simple kind of, here are things that you can do to help you to walk in grace and to have habits to experience that grace and enjoy the freedom in Christ. So the first one is fellowship, which, even thinking about watching like playoffs or something, it's like we could all just kind of seclude ourselves and watch playoffs by ourselves, but we can also, like we had a bunch of people over for game one and just hung out and enjoyed each other's company. And that's like a great way to watch something, but also just have community and share in that with each other without just being so focused on the game.
Yeah, and it happened even in a lot of moments that night where it's like, oh, you're kind of so caught up in a conversation with somebody that we realize it's like, oh, not a lot of us caught what was actually happening in the last 5 minutes of that game, right? Which isn't necessarily the goal, that it's like, oh, we become so distracted from the thing that we're not even paying attention to it. But there is a beautiful thing about just being with others and enjoying things together that not only, like, number one, I think just often makes it more fun, but number two, often like helps us keep in check, yeah, like how much time or how much of myself like am I giving to this thing. Like I'm gonna get probably way less intense and like focused in on like what's going on when it's like, oh, I just have other people around me who are enjoying it too, unless they're all a bunch of like angry fans, and then really they just get pulled into that as well.
That's true. That's
Like
true. Mob
kind
mentality.
of how an arena just erupts.
Mob mentality.
But still, there's something like that changes the experience from taking things in together, and just living in that fellowship that we've been called to, especially if it's obviously like fellowship with other believers who are also seeking, to follow this greatest commandment. Because it's like, oh, then we're actually like, we both are aiming towards the same thing. We're both seeking to glorify God in what we're doing.
A unified goal.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's so much where it's like we're pursuing this goal. Hey, and I've been encouraged about how you've done this thing. Like that's part of the fellowship where it's just being able to encourage one another. You know, we can be hard on each other sometimes. It's like, hey, like I'm seeing this thing and I think, you know, you need to change how you're doing this, or that moment was like pretty tough. Like, is there something going on? Like those moments where
Totally.
it's okay, you got pretty heated at the TV for what happened in the game. Like, you're doing okay.
Yeah.
And all those kinds of things. And, it, you know, that plays out in worship, in sports, and all the different activities that we can enjoy. That's an important part of being in fellowship.
Yeah, well, I think it's the crazy thing from like even transitioning from, so many years like living by myself to starting to think of like, oh, the fact that I'm gonna get married in 2 months and like live with another person, where it's just like, oh, all of your rhythms and all of your habits and everything like really that you do is suddenly like on display before another person. Where it's like, there's probably things I don't even realize now, like which just like aren't good habits or like are just weird things, right? That it's just like, oh, as soon as that's happening before somebody else, like suddenly that changes like how you think about it and what they might call you on and just all of those things. And so not that like marriage is the only way to that, and I think that's kind of what we're saying. It's like just be around other believers, like let them observe you in your daily life and let them see like the things that are important to you, let them see how you spend your time, let them see what decisions you make, and that actually just like becomes such an open door to, yeah, like actually talk about it and call each other on things and encourage each other in the things you see the other doing well. And it really is just like a beautiful thing of like being part of the body of Christ.
Yeah, and even in this like short time that I've been married, it's like even some Saturday mornings I get up and I just kind of start doing my own thing and own rhythm and really get caught up in what I want to do, which really makes my wife unhappy sometimes, where it's like, oh, I actually should probably just like slow down and be like, hi, sweetheart. Like, do you want to have coffee on the deck this morning?
Yeah.
And just kind of slow down and not be so consumed with just what I want to do with my Saturday morning. Because there is like parts of that where it's just like, oh, I'm just sitting and watching, you know, Formula One first thing in the morning
Yeah.
and kind of end up ignoring my wife, which is not a good thing. So yeah, there's all those little pieces in it. The next big one is prayer. And you know, you can do that in fellowship. We can do that by ourselves. And a big part of prayer that we were talking about is also fasting and how those you know, the grace of fasting can be so beneficial in kind of recentering ourselves on loving our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because it is that idea of, okay, I'm putting this, you know, food or my phone or whatever it is aside, because I know I actually need Jesus so much more than everything else. And like with our church, we have the what is it called? Same Page Summer. So our pastor has laid out kind of a reading plan for the summer to read through the whole New Testament. And so the first book that we finished yesterday, I guess we're supposed to, was John. And reading through that, I was just so encouraged in John 4, where Jesus meets the Samaritan woman at the well. And then after that is talking with his disciples, and the conversation is, you know, he's asking this woman for water. She's like, you don't have anything to like get water with. And why are you talking to me? I'm a Samaritan woman. the Jews and the Samaritans didn't get along. But then Jesus is we can have water, but then there's also a water that's way more important, the living water, that you'll never thirst again with this. And that idea of, we do need water to survive. We can't go forever without water, but we actually also just way more need the living water of Christ to sustain us. And that is going to sustain us way more than just the water we can drink in a day. And then at the same time later, he's talking with his disciples, and they're like, Rabbi, you should probably eat something, because he hasn't eaten in a while. And then Jesus is like, I have food to eat that you do not know about, which I would be so confused if this was like a conversation that I had with Jesus. It's like, I have food you don't know about. It's like, I don't remember him bringing
You packed
anything.
your own rations.
And then he's like, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. So, like, I'm not gonna lie, if I was hearing this, I'd be like, okay, that sounds great, but like my tummy is grumbling and I'm kind of hungry for food. Like, it's the speech is confusing, but it really is just showing that importance that, like, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. So it's, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that's way more important than having a snack because your tummy's grumbly.
Totally. One, it's like 2 chapters later after that, right? Like John 6. It's like Jesus is talking about how he is the bread of life. And it's like your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And just this idea that it's like, oh, like whoever comes to me, like, shall not hunger, shall not thirst. Like that there's just, you've said it, like so much satisfaction in recognizing that it's like, oh, we're actually first fulfilled in Christ. And then these things that come along afterwards, like as his gifts, right, are things that are good things. But it's like, oh, we weren't actually, they're not actually the things that satisfy in and of themselves. Like first and foremost, we find that in Jesus, in time with him, in drawing near to his presence in prayer. And yeah, like I love that point that fasting is actually such a good way of kind of stepping back and being like, oh, how much emphasis am I placing on this thing? Like, if I actually just take that away for a period of time, like, am I going to notice a huge difference, or am I going to notice how much I like search, like yearn for that thing?
Like our phones.
Oh, totally.
If we left them somewhere for a day, how many times do you reach in your pocket to grab your phone?
Oh, dude, or just like, yeah, like wake up and it's just like, oh, that's the first thing I need to go look
Where's
at,
my phone?
or go to bed, and it's like, yeah, that's the last thing that I looked at. Yeah, it's like to actually take some of those pieces away, to spend time fasting from them, kind of reveals maybe how much hope we find in them.
I think it's important too. I don't think Jesus is saying like I think it's spiritual thirst and spiritual hunger
Yes.
more than literal food. But to take a break from literal food to be spiritually, to feast spiritually,
Yeah.
if that makes sense, where it's like I'm taking a day away from food and I'm gonna spend this day eating the word of God, or that kind of
Yeah.
thing, where it's we can get distracted and, like you talked about having a busy schedule, we can fill up our schedules quickly and forget to prioritize, that spiritual water and food that we need really desperately to, walk the Christian walk and to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Yeah, and it's a, I think it's a sweet thing, even as we were in like the rhythm of Bible college, like part of that rhythm was that once a semester we would take even like a day of prayer, which is possible for some people to work into their schedules and into their life, and probably not as possible for others, depending on the stage of life you're in. But for us in that time, it was just like, oh, we literally have a day that's set aside for us just to go and just be quiet and just step away from the rhythms of classes and homework, and just kind of reorientate to like, okay, what is actually important? Like, what is God actually asking of me in this time? And I think regardless of, how busy the season of life is that you're in, you can still find those moments in other ways, right? And sometimes, a full work schedule, it means that it's like, oh, I'm actually gonna like get up an hour earlier and spend time like praying and asking the Lord for his help and his strength and his wisdom. And so I think it's good to find those rhythms, like no matter what we're doing. It's like whether that's a break from food or a break from your phone, or a break from, fill in the blank of activity that you like to spend time on. It's good to step away from those things for a time, even if it's, a short amount of time, just to be like, okay, like what's important here? What will actually satisfy me?
Yeah, and like the last habit of grace that we have here is just time in the Word, which kind of talking about fasting has really brought us to where it's, being in this regular, really just feasting on God's word. It's such a, I mean that I would say that it is the way that we spiritually feed ourselves, spiritually can eat, is by spending that time in the word, just being like, man, I'm so encouraged by what God did, in the Old Testament, how he orchestrated things, or the reminders in the New Testament of this is who you are in Christ. This is the freedom that we get to live in. This is who Jesus declares we are, and all those things. Because it, yeah, in all of this, it's so important to remember that we are chosen by Christ, that, he has paid for us and bought us. We are adopted by him. So, the need to, find our identity in our activities where those become idols, like that's just not necessary because our identity is in Christ, not in what we do and all, yeah, all those things. And it matters so much the heart behind kind of our activities. And, if you go in to do your activities and it's like, man, I just want to feel a sense of belonging so badly. You're going to do those activities with that in mind and try to prove yourself and try to find really just you're trying to find saving in a place that just can never offer it. Yeah.
I'm trying to think through like, okay, like I mean all of these kind of are practical things and in and of themselves. But for someone who is just like, oh, maybe I don't have really any of these habits in place right now. And I don't know, maybe you can think for yourself too, Luke, of a time where it's like, oh, like you didn't see many of these in your own life either. But it's like, I don't know, what do you do to start? Like, if it's just kind of like, okay, like I need to, obviously, it's like you're not going to get all these things perfect overnight. And you're probably not going to work all these things in at once. Like their habits, they take time. What for you is like a helpful place to just kind of like start from?
I honestly think I this honestly happens more often than I'd want to admit, but it's I come to just kind of a place where it's like, Lord, I am really just not loving you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I feel pretty far away from you. Just help me to refocus and recenter and to fall in love with you again, fall in love with these habits. 'Cause the reality is we do get distracted and our things become idols and take us away from these habits. And the Lord will kindly, sometimes firmly and aggressively, but kindly remind us that we are straying from Him, and to be willing to come back to Him and be like, Lord, forgive me for, the sit my sin of being distracted and not pursuing you. Help me to refocus and recenter. And in all of that, we can have the guilt and the shame, but remembering who we are in Christ. I a lot of times will go back and read Ephesians 1 because it just lays out like so well, who we are in Christ, who He declares we are. And it helps me refocus, reset to be like, I belong to Christ, and I can live with that peace, knowing that, days I'm gonna wake up and not love my wife as well as I could, but he still loves me and he's gonna help me get to those places. So all of those things where it's like, yeah, it really is just being able to recognize that we actually can't do this ourselves. I can try super hard and will fall on my face every time. But the Lord is so very kind to, bring your friends in to have fellowship, where, I've often feel like He's prompted people in my life to just check in on me. Or I'm like, man, I feel like just someone's praying for me today, because I feel that love of Christ so deeply. Or, man, I just need to sit down and read the Bible. And there'll be ebbs and flows and highs and lows and all that stuff, but I don't know. What about you?
Awesome. No, yeah, that's so good. I think what I was thinking of, kind of especially towards that latter part of what you're saying, it's like, oh man, like just the importance of like accountability, that it's just like not only that, like we have people who are like coming to us and like checking in on us. I mean, awesome when the Lord provides that. But often, like in my own life, I've fallen into rhythms before where it's like, no one's asking me about that thing, or like no one's checking in with me there. So it's like I'm kind of off the hook. But also having like people that we're accountable to be like, this is what I'm doing to grow in this, or like this is like these are the steps I'm taking. And I think with all these habits, like, and it probably depends on personality a good bit, but it's like for me, like a huge motivation is just like, oh, to be like doing that alongside someone else, or at the very least, like to just kind of be like talking that through with somebody else. So I don't know if like I feel like for me in the last maybe like 6 months, like I kind of realized that it's just like, oh, like my time in the Word is actually like not like happening very regularly, or like with like enough depth. Like it's kind of easy to just be like, oh, I'll just read this chapter and carry on with my day, but to actually like sit and like wrestle through things. And so for me, it was just like finding somebody to be like, hey, do you just want to like just meet like once a week and just like walk through like some of God's word together, and seeing that like habit build and kind of grow beyond that out of just kind of bringing somebody else into it, I feel like is helpful. And whether you want to actually sit down and do these things with somebody, or whether it's just kind of like, hey, I want to grow in this thing, and I'm gonna come and like kind of tell you like what I'm doing to grow in this, and just having like a little bit of accountability there. I feel like for me, that's been like a helpful starting place when I realize that these habits are maybe lacking, And it kind of falls into that idea of fellowship, and just the fact that God has placed His church, His community of believers like around us. And so that's a sweet thing to be able to take advantage of, and build one another up in. And yeah, I love like I've spent some time in Hebrews lately, and Hebrews 10 just talks about how, like, as people who have been saved by the blood of Jesus, that, like, we have the ability to draw near to him in prayer, that we can hold fast to the truths of his word, and that we stir up one another to love and good works. And that idea of just, like, oh, like, we're here for each other to stir one another up to loving the Lord and to doing good works as an outflow of our love for him, is, yeah, pretty incredible that we have the opportunity to do those things.
Oh, it's so good. And it, I mean, for I know for me, and I think I can speak for you, like even just doing this podcast, it is for me a kindness of the Lord to just have one way that I can dive into the word a little differently than I normally would and learn some new things and just be reminded of different things. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
So there's our practical advice is just go start a podcast.
Yeah, let's just see how many different podcasts we can have going.
You get fellowship. You get time in the word. You can pray about it. And then you can take a month and a half off, and that's your fasting done. So
There you go. There you go. Boom. Wow. Quick little
check marked all across the board.
handbook.
A plus.
Oh, man. Yeah, so as we leave you listeners, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Remember who you are in Christ and who he declares you to be, by the power of his blood, and the work that he did on the cross, and that we are first belonging to him and have our identity in him above, all the fun things and beautiful things that we can do with our lives.
Yeah,
So.
and even the things you feel ill-equipped to do or that you just don't know how to begin in, recognize that he starts that good work in you and that he'll bring it to completion. And it's a beautiful truth we get to rest in.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for listening, and we will see you guys next time on the Bibling and Babbling podcast.